Here. It's been a couple of weeks, but we're talking about in chapter 9, where it talks about taking up our crosses and following Jesus, right? It's about how we forsake our own lives in order to gain the best life, right? We surrender our lives, and what we get back in return is really the best life. And it's the kind of life that Jesus offers us. Isn't like to limit us or to handcuff us or to kill our joy or limit our freedom, but it's to give us more joy and freedom, okay? Jesus is demanding us to give up our lives in exchange for his glorious riches, okay? But he doesn't just demand that we give up our lives, right? He doesn't just throw out this command that's empty. I mean, he does it himself. He goes out and does it himself. He leads the way, right? He blazes the trail. He dies on the cross, and in doing so, he secures our freedom, our rescue. And then he rises 3 days later. He rises again into this new life so that in him, a brand new life is possible for us. Because everything I need, I already have in Christ. I can live my life denying myself, taking up my cross. All I ever need, I have in Christ, and I can never lose it. Right? That's what we talked about last time. But sometimes in our lives, we get distracted from this, right? We get distracted. Right? Like Paul, like Phil was mentioning this morning, what are the things that are distracting you this morning? Is it our careers? Is it money? Is it our families? Is it the football game that we have to watch this afternoon? Which sometimes creeps into my mind, right? I have to be honest. Right? So, like, what are the things that distract you from pursuing Jesus? And sometimes we get caught up seeking God's will for our lives, but forget about seeking God himself. You know, other times we let the church life get in the way of seeking God. And so what happens is we look to the work, to the service, to the things to give us satisfaction, to give us some sort of value as a disciple, rather than finding our satisfaction completely and solely in Jesus Christ. And this is what happens in our passage today. So we're in Luke 10. Verses 38 to 42. If you've grown up in the church, you guys know this story very well. It's a story of Martha and her sister Mary. So I'm going to read this, then I'm going to pray. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you for this morning that we can come and worship in community. We thank you that we could come and sing songs of praise to you, to be with one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that we share the same spirit with, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us now as we listen to your word preached. I pray that I would not get in the way of your truth, God. But that you, Holy Spirit, your words, God, would come out loud and clear into our hearts, God. Would you teach us? Would you mold us and shape us into the people that you long for us to be? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, just to set this up a little bit, it's important for us to look at the context of this passage. Right? Because if you look a little bit closely at the passages around these verses, you'll find that they speak to really three postures that a disciple should be taking. And within these three postures are kind of within three areas of our lives of our relationships in particular that we want to be taking, okay? So, first area we're looking at is, relationship with others, right? If we look in the verses 25 to 37, Jesus gives us the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? And in the parable of the Good Samaritans, if you know the story, a lawyer goes up to Jesus and asks him how he'd interpret the law. Well, I mean, he asks him, what is the law? Jesus turns it around. It's like, well, what do you think it says, right? And the lawyer's like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? And Jesus says, yep, you're right. Go out and do it. And then the lawyer says, well, who's my neighbor? If I'm supposed to love my neighbor, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells him this parable of the Good Samaritan. And at the end of this, after end of telling it, he says, who was the good neighbor, he asked the lawyer. Who was the good neighbor? In other words, when the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself, what Jesus is saying is don't ask who our neighbor is. Don't ask who our neighbor is, because that's an irrelevant question to ask. What's relevant is that we are the good neighbors to whoever we come across, that we are the ones who are showing love, that we are the ones who are exhibiting what it means to be a good neighbor. We are the neighbors, all of us. How do we treat each other? Do we love each other? Or do we ignore each other, look down upon one another? And so the point of the parable of the Good Samaritan isn't just to say that we have to help people in need. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, it's that as disciples of Jesus, we have to love everyone we encounter, regardless of their station in life. And if that means we have to give sacrificially, just like the Good Samaritan did in giving up a full 2 days' worth of wages for this guy he never knew, he doesn't even know this guy's background, what he's like, then that's what we got to do. If it means giving up our time to help a brother or sister who's out in help, who needs help, that's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. And so Jesus deals with our relationship with others, telling us that the posture we take with others is to love humbly. The posture is to love humbly and without regard for self. Okay, so this is the first posture. So we got three postures within these kind of this little section of scripture, a section of Luke here, okay? So the next area he goes through is our relationship with Jesus, which is our passage today, all right? So in our passage, Jesus instructs us on the proper posture we need to take in response to Jesus' presence in our lives, all right? And we're going to pack this a little bit more in detail later on, but for now I'll say this. The proper posture that we take before Jesus is to sit humbly and to listen, to devote ourselves to listen. This is what we're going to be talking about today. Third posture is in chapter 11, and it's the Lord's Prayer, chapter 11, verse 1 to 13. And Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer here. And what he does here is he stresses dependence on God through an active prayer life. So the first two is relationship with others, right? Those are the big areas that we want to deal with, that the disciple has to live under. Our relationship with others. Next is our relationship with Jesus. Now we're talking about our relationship with God. So it's this vertical thing here. What Jesus does, he stresses dependence on God through an active prayer life, right? So the third posture here is to pray humbly, to pray often. To pray humbly and to pray often. So we have three postures of disciples, of a disciple, to love, pray, and listen. Let love, listen, and pray. And we're talking, the reason why I'm using the word posture is because these aren't just things that we do, right? These are like postures that we take. So if I'm, for example, a posture is sitting down, right? And when you sit, you can do a number of things. When you're sitting, you can sit down to eat. You can sit down to rest. You can sit down and watch television. You can sit down and read a book, right? There's a multitude of things you can do while you are sitting down. Posture-wise, when we're talking about love as a posture, to love others as a posture, when we are loving others, it's a posture. It's not just a thing we do. It's a position we take in relation to another person. So if I'm called to take a posture of love for others, there's a multitude of things that I can do. There's a multitude of things that I can do to show my love for others, to demonstrate the love of Jesus to another person, right? If I'm called to listen, if I'm taking a posture of listening, there's a multitude of ways I can listen to the words of Jesus. But it's this attitude, it's this idea of this attitude, this posture that we take when we're doing this. It's not just a thing we do, it's a posture, it's a way of receiving, okay? All three of these things, the thing is, all three of these things need to be present if we are to be properly called disciples of Jesus Christ, right? If you listen and pray, for example, if you listen and pray but you don't love, you're not really a disciple, are you? Because First John says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Right? Does that make sense? Right? We would almost be like this Pharisee who does and says all the right things, right? Who knows the Bible, who prays five times a day, and who teaches Sunday school as a worship leader, a deacon, a WANA leader, whatever it is. But it means nothing if it doesn't drive you to love others. If we love and listen, but we don't pray, we might be a good person. We might give all our money away for charity. We might do some amazing things, but we'd be a person who's relying on our own strength to do good in this world. But without drawing from this unlimited source of strength that is we finding God, our efforts can only go so far. And because our efforts can only go so far, what's going to happen is we will soon get weary, we'll get tired, we'll get frustrated, and ultimately we're going to get burnt out. The same way, if we love and pray, we don't listen, we'll never know the specific ways the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us to love and to pray. We will never listen to the counsel of God through Scripture or through other people. We might read it, but we won't listen to it. What has can happen? We'll swim around in circles in our lives, never reaching this final destination because we've stopped listening, so we never know the way. Luke 10:38-42 deals primarily, though, with our relationship with Jesus. This whole idea of listening, the sitting down at the feet of Jesus and listening to his every word. Luke, the author, gives us this episode here of these two sisters, Mary and Martha. And what he does is when he contrasts the different responses, he contrasts the disciple who doesn't sit and listen with the one who does. All right, so let's start with Martha. We got Martha. I'm still having problems with this whole like PowerPoint thing. I have these cool fonts here, but now it's all like kind of like Plano. Sorry about that. But anyways, we're getting there. So we have Martha. We're starting with Martha. Martha, we know the story about Martha. You know, at the beginning of this story, right? We feel for her. She's working hard. Some of us can associate ourselves with that. We can affiliate ourselves with this whole notion. We're working hard. We kind of get her. We feel her. But then by the end of it, we read the whole story, but then she kind of gets a bad rap, right? And she just gets this bad rap as this kind of like mean and cold woman who's just concerned about work. But the fact is her heart was in the right place, right? I mean, she wasn't totally wrong. And we get a sense of this in Jesus' response to her, which was really sort of tender and really sort of, Jesus is really just trying to steer her in the right direction rather than just outright blasting what she's doing. So she wasn't totally wrong. She just needed to be steered back to what was important. And so first of all, Luke says that Martha welcomed Jesus into her house, right? This is in itself should tell us that her heart was in the right place. In the first place, she welcomed Jesus into her home. She invited him over for a meal. And if you've been with us for a while, you'll know that Jesus was a firm believer in eating together. He loved eating. I mean, there's 9 different meals involving Jesus in the book of Luke alone, right? It shows you just how central meals are, eating together, just how central meals are to Jesus' method of ministry. I mean, how awesome is this guy, right? He loves to eat, and he leads by example. But where Martha goes wrong is in verse 40, where it says this. It says, Martha was distracted with much serving. Because sometimes we get caught up in the work of ministry, that the work itself is exactly the thing that prevents us from the more important and the necessary things. Sometimes we're working so hard at serving the church or serving others that we forget who it is that we are serving and who it is that we're doing it for. Because here's what could happen. We work so hard serving the church, keeping its programs running, that it actually becomes a replacement for Jesus. Right? Maybe the thought creeps in really slowly, right? And it's really innocent at first. Like, all this time I'm doing serving the Jesus, I'm sure he won't mind if I don't pray today. I'm sure he won't mind if I skip out on reading the Bible today. And it starts off innocently enough. But it creeps in. Over time, it snowballs. We start thinking to ourselves that our time serving the church replaces actual time with Jesus. Where, in fact, it should be the other way around. Our time with Jesus should fuel us, empower us to serve the church. But what eventually happens then is when we're serving with the experience of Jesus' presence within us, or without this experience of Jesus' presence within us, we're going to burn out. May not be today, may not be next week, may not be next month, but you're going to run out of gas. You're going to run out of gas. You're working so hard serving, but you're doing it without the power of the Spirit of Christ pushing you through, inspiring you, empowering you, giving you the joy and the strength you need to do the work of ministry. Because let's face it, ministry is tough. It's tough. And if you don't have this unlimited supply of strength and power and inspiration and empowerment that Jesus calls us, that we can draw on the well of Jesus for, we're going to burn out. And let me be clear right now that I'm not saying that we don't serve the church. In fact, serving the church is a sign of really of our faith journey and where we're at with God. I mean, we need to serve the greater church with whatever gift we've been given through the Holy Spirit. An absolute must. We have to do it. I mean, if you aren't serving someone, serving one another in some way, we need to question where our relationship with God is, really. But the issue here is when the pursuit of service gets in the way of pursuing Jesus himself. That's really the problem here. Just look what happens. Look what can happen. Let's continue on to verse 40. And she went up to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has abandoned me here, essentially? She's like, can't you see I'm doing all this work for you? Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. And this is kind of funny to me because Martha is here with Jesus and she basically accuses Jesus of being insensitive, right? She complains to Jesus and she basically tells him, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. She tells him what she wants him to do. Now, how gutsy is that? But what's really happening in Martha here? What's happening in her heart? And she's so distracted with this task at hand that she's forgotten who it is that she's doing it for. She's caught up in the act of serving Jesus that she's lost sight of Jesus. And what she says here reveals a lot about what's happening in her heart. I mean, her devotion suddenly is getting replaced by bitterness, right? She's so dependent on her own work, her own effort, that when things don't go her way, she just freaks out. She sees her sister sitting there at Jesus' feet, and in her mind, Mary's doing nothing to help keep their special guest happy. She's doing all the work. In fact, there's a part of her that probably thinks that she is better than Mary because she's doing all the work keeping things together. She's probably thinking, look at me. I'm doing all this work. Jesus, look at me. Here I am doing all this work for you. Look at what my sister Mary's doing. She's doing nothing. Nothing. Doesn't this sound like a lot of really religious people? You know, the kind of people that rely so much on their own goodness, their own work, their own effort, that they forget the very thing they were supposed to worship in the first place. The kind that looks at their effort and their service as somehow giving them some kind of special in with God. The kind that regards their own work and goodness so highly that they think themselves better than the guy next to them who doesn't seem to be working as hard. Right? I'm a worship leader, I'm a deacon, I'm a WANA leader, I teach Sunday school. I'm a more faithful Christian than that guy over there. I'm not pointing at anyone in particular, so don't worry. All right? And what happens in our churches today is that what Martha asks of Jesus, get that person to serve too. As if that is what determines solely how faithful the disciple is. I mean, are we that kind of Christian? Are we blinded or distracted by our own work, our own service, that we lose sight of the one we are serving and working for? Well, look how Jesus replies to Martha. He says this. He says, Martha, Martha, you're so anxious and troubled about many things. And the picture here is getting a little clearer, isn't it? See, because Martha feels like she's slaving away, keeping this party going strong, right? The more she sees her sister being lazy in her eyes, the more she sees Jesus not saying anything to get Mary to help out, the more she's doing to serve her guests, the more frustrated she's getting. This work is overwhelming her, and she's getting stressed out, so she freaks out and lashes out. Jesus sees this, sees right through, and he says this to her. Martha, only one thing is necessary, right? Mary's already chosen it. She chose the good path, the good portion. This is not going to get taken away from her. I will not let you rob her of this moment. I will not let you take away from all that she's enjoying right now. But what exactly is Mary doing? What is exactly the thing that she chose? What does Mary get right that Martha gets so wrong? Right, she's working hard while her sister is seemingly just lounging around. That doesn't seem fair. But is she really just being lazy? Let's look at verse 39. Oh, here we go. And she sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. You see, when it says that Martha was distracted with much serving, what Martha was distracted from was exactly what Mary was drawn to. See, Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Like Martha, some of us have to learn from Mary and realize that our guests matter more than our hospitality. Like Mary, we need to be content to simply enjoy the presence of our guests, of Jesus, rather than trying to impress him with our works. It's a fine line, I know, but it's a line we have to realize. I mean, just imagine this image for a moment of this Mary, this disciple, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his every word, her attention drawn to Jesus. She's enjoying every moment of it, every word that comes out of Jesus' mouth. She's soaking it in. That's exactly where we need to be. Just basking in the presence of Jesus, allowing his words to penetrate into our ears and down into our hearts. That should be the posture of the disciple before the master. I mean, Jesus' rebuke of Martha wasn't necessarily her actions, because Martha was trying to do right. The problem was that the service was taken at the expense of just sitting and listening to God. She ended up being so too busy for Jesus. And even though she meant to do it for Jesus in the first place. Then Martha got caught up in the work and forgot about the object of that work. The thing is that as disciples, we should never be too busy to sit at Jesus' feet. We can never use church service or church events as an excuse not to sit down at Jesus' feet. We should never be too busy to soak in his every word. And the difference between these two sisters? Martha, she's telling Jesus what he's got to say. But Mary, she just listens to what Jesus wants to say. Martha, she's worked hard. She's working hard to serve, so she feels like she has a right to demand things from Jesus. Mary realizes she just needs to hear the word of God and parks herself at Jesus' feet. And so who are you? Are you Mary or Martha? Are you more like a Mary who's forgotten what it's like to simply be in the presence of God? I mean, do you find yourself depending on what you do for God rather than simply being with God? Because if you're not conscious of that mistake and curb it now and steer yourself in the right direction now, I mean, it could be fatal. Right? In Matthew 7, verse 21 to 22, if you have your Bibles with you, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 22 says this, to 23 says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them," Jesus' words, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." If we get caught up in the work so much that we lose sight of Jesus, these guys, they did work. They prophesied in the name of Jesus. They cast out demons in the name of Jesus. They did mighty works in the name of Jesus. And Jesus looks at them and says, "I never knew you." It's a fatal mistake to go down this path of seeing the work instead of the object of the work. It's tragic. A friend of mine loved Jesus. A friend of mine in Calgary, throughout high school, university, she followed Jesus. She loved Jesus. But in the end, she stopped following Jesus because she believed that if she prayed enough, she served hard enough, that God would make her parents' marriage better. She believed that if she prayed hard enough, God would make her relationships more whole. And she believed that if she prayed more, that her life would be more happy. But then at the end of the day, none of this went exactly the way she expected it to go, right? So what happens is she stopped following Jesus. And see, like Martha, she thought she was pursuing Jesus by doing all these things like praying and serving. But she wasn't really pursuing Jesus necessarily. She was pursuing everything but Jesus. She thought she was pursuing Jesus, but in the end, she was really just pursuing herself. Her hopes, her wants, her desires, her comfort. Because here's the thing. Do you let things distract you from just sitting and listening to Jesus? Maybe it's your gadgets. Maybe it's our careers. Maybe it's money or relationships. Or maybe you let our agendas, maybe we have agendas when we pursue God. Like we're going to God in order to get stuff from Him. Or are you pursuing God to get something? You're praying to find a career or a spouse and for the good things to happen to you? Without just wanting to be with God? Or are you serving church in order to gain some kind of favor from God? To impress people maybe? Or are you pursuing Jesus for Jesus' sake? Maybe we're like Mary, who finds herself at the feet of Jesus, completely enamored and absorbed and captivated by his presence, enjoying the simple joy of just being with him. She's not doing anything particular. She doesn't have her Bible open necessarily and reading scripture with a highlighter. She doesn't have, I don't know, she doesn't have to pursue any kind of prayer rituals, like whatever it is, in order to be with them. She's just with him. No agendas, no goals, no objectives. Just being with Jesus. Listening to his every word as if only that mattered to us. Jesus is inviting us to. He's not asking us to do stuff. He's just asking us to be with him. All the rest of it, the service, the work, will come as a result of this, of us drawing to the well, drawing at the well of Jesus. And when we do the work, instead of the work being a chore, it'll be a complete joy. Instead of getting stressed out at the amount of work that needs to be done, we'll experience incredible peace instead. That in spite of all the things that need to be done, God is in control. Let's sit at his feet. Let's listen to his word. Enjoy him and him alone. That's the only thing that's necessary. Let's pray. Lord, we just come to you this morning. And Lord, we come, each one of us, from different places, from different stations in life. We all have our own pursuits, our own goals, our own dreams, our own desires. We have our own circumstances, whether it be in school or working or not working, whether we have families or not, whether we're single or attached. God, I pray that in the midst of all of these distractions, that we would have a single-minded pursuit of you, Jesus. No turning to the left or the right. Just running the race with you as the finish line. God, I pray that you just place deep within our hearts this desire to know you better. This desire just to sit at your feet, listening to your every word. God, you invite us just to be with you. And so often we think of the Christian life as doing stuff. We do church, we go to church, we sing songs, whatever it is. But oftentimes we forget what it's like just to be in your presence. So Lord, may we experience you new, in new ways, fresh ways. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you are a God who doesn't sit up high in a chair and look down on us, but sits right here with us, beckoning us, inviting us to just sit at your feet and hang out with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you please stand with me? I'm going to say, give the benediction as well.